Including our four-part series on the almost complete works of Scott Joplin. So this is part four, and at this point, Joplin had gotten to New York City. John Stark went there first, his publisher, but Joplin ultimately followed him to New York, and that's where he spent the rest of his life. By 1909, the music business in New York had gotten tough, though. Publisher John Stark had become embittered by what was happening. There had been several sheet music price wars by the end of 1908, and even more were to come. Places like Woolworth's were using cheap music as an incentive to get people in the doors, and they were selling music at or below cost, something which hurt other merchants and ultimately the publishers and the composers. Stark's business was already hit hard by financial woes, and with his wife ailing, he decided to close his New York office and retreat to St. Louis, where things made more sense. By 1910, he was gone. Sadly, his wife would die very soon after their return. The habanera rhythm had been a popular staple of ragtime composers for nearly 15 years. Jelly Roll Morton would become one of the most frequent users of the African-based rhythm, which in his hands would become known as the Spanish tinge. Black composers Ford Dabney and Will Tyers would also make use of it, as would Artie Matthews in his pastime rags. Joplin treated the rhythm with respect when he composed Solace in 1909. Thank you. Solace. That was the Belgian pianist Dominique Corneil. Finding the treatment of both himself and his rags by the Seminary Music Company in New York to be favorable, Scott Joplin submitted Wall Street Rag to them in early 1909. This was his only major descriptive piece, and the descriptions for each section were the following. A was Panic in Wall Street, Brokers Feeling Melancholy. Section B, Good Times Coming. Section C, Good Times Have Come. Section D, Listening to the Strains of Genuine Negro Ragtime, Brokers Forget Their Cares. Let's listen to the Pacific Coast Ragtime Orchestra. Okay, well, another rag that was published by the Seminary Music Company was Country Club. This was the simplest of all Joplin rags and certainly the most delicate. And the structure of it does not invite a speedy interpretation, I might add. At the same time, Joplin copyrighted Pleasant Moments, a lovely waltz which was closer to the rag form than his earlier waltz, Bethina. Let's listen to those back to back. To do country club for us, we have William Albright, and to play Pleasant Moments Waltz, Roy Eaton.
Thank you.
Well, two more rags were published in 1909. The first of these, Euphonic Sounds, is considered by some to be a revolutionary ragtime experiment. There is a nearly complete absence of the traditional duple or oompah ragtime left hand, replaced by intricate arpeggios and moving patterns, contrary motion, and repeated chords. The last 1909 rag was Paragon Rag, certainly more traditional by far in structure than Euphonic Sounds. We'll do those back-to-back as well. To play Euphonic Sounds is the Manhattan Ragtime Orchestra, and to play Paragon Rag is Japanese guitarist Hamada Takase.
Support comes from
support
Boulder
for
County
KGNU
Healthcare
comes from the Boulder Marriott, offering room accommodations and Colorado dining in Canyon's
Saturday,
Restaurant.
14th,
details at BoulderMarriottHotel.com.
And that Boulder County health coverage guides are available to help you protect yourself and your family. Assistance is open to the public, confidential, and available in both English and Spanish. More information at BoulderCountyHealthCoverage.org. Thank you.
Was quite a tour de force for the guitar. Paragon Rag by Hamada Takase from Japan. Well, only one Joplin rag, appeared in 1910, and that was because he was largely focusing on the completion of his opera, Treemonisha, which he had begun several years earlier. Stop Time Rag was an extension of the idea put forth in the second half of the Ragtime Dance from 1906, where the pianist stomped his foot throughout and performed many of the phrases punctuated by the stomps during frequent pauses in the music. Let's see how John Novacek handles that. Thank you. Well, it was during this time period, 1910, 1911, that Scott Joplin met Lottie Stokes, although exactly when, it's unclear. Later in the year, he would move into the building she lived in and would soon manage, which was a haven for other musicians as well. The opera was completed in 1911 and deserves a show unto itself, and we've done that in the past. In 1911, he started shopping it around, looking for a publisher and backers. He ended up paying for the initial publication in May and even took the train down to Washington, D.C. to hand-carry a copy to the Library of Congress Copyright Office. He also secured a British copyright, showing that Joplin was thinking along the same lines as many of the producers of the Broadway shows who also took their products overseas. A copy of the score had been left with the editor of American Musician Music and Art Journal, a periodical based in New York. The editor gave it an extraordinary review and touted Joplin as a credit to his race, and even beyond, noting that he had written, quote, a thoroughly American opera, unquote. The amount of effort put into not only getting Treemonition into print, but also trying to promote it to backers, likely occupied Joplin's time to the point where he simply did not have the time, energy, or inspiration to complete any other compositions. Funding and support was hard to come by, for Treemonition is a story ahead of its time, as it involves female leadership and has a strong message of education as a way to gain respect and equal rights among all men. Ultimately, it had only one performance for potential investors in 1911, with Joplin playing in place of an orchestra and a bare stage set. One section of the opera is syncopated enough to be similar to ragtime. It's called A Real Slow Drag from Act 3, 1911. And so we'll give it the same treatment that Joplin did, a bare stage and just a piano to do it. And to play that section for us, here is Paula Sorrow. Thank you. Well, that may have been the way it sounded when Joplin did it. This was recorded by Paul Asaro on an 1858 Chickering Square grand piano. So, who knows? Well, the last two rags that Joplin published in his lifetime are certainly worthy of note. From 1912, a piece called Scott Joplin's New Rag was possibly written to help raise funds for his presentation of the opera, and is unusually rapid for a Joplin rag. The other, from 1914, is Magnetic Rag, a very fine and unique piece, and also likely composed to help raise funds for his initial production of the opera. We'll pair those up back to back. New Rag, Scott Joplin's New Rag, will be played by Michael Stahlkup, and Magnetic Rag by the Avatar Brass Quintet. Thank you. Emotionally discouraged and mentally affected by the onset of syphilis, Joplin spent his remaining years, particularly 1915 on, slowly deteriorating physically and suffering from the onset of dementia. In early 1915, he did manage at least two different sessions where he recorded a handful of piano rolls. He finally succumbed to the disease on April 1, 1917, 6 weeks after being committed to Bellevue Hospital. Silver Swan was never published, but it was issued on a piano roll in 1914 and it remained unknown until it was discovered by a California roll collector in 1970. Brought to the attention of Dick Zimmerman, it was ultimately transcribed and included in the published works of Joplin. And here to play it is none other than Max Morath.
Thank you.
The Reflection Rag was published posthumously by John Stark the same year that Joplin died, 1917. It is generally believed that the major content of Reflection was written about 1907 to 1908 and probably was assembled by John Stark after Joplin's death. Here to play that for us is the Dave Dolowitz Ragtime Ensemble.
Thank you.
the Dave Dolowitz Ensemble from Australia and the Reflection Rag. Well, that brings us to a close. We have, as you know, devoted the last four programs to the almost complete works of Scott Joplin. I owe a big vote of thanks to Bill Edwards, Professor Bill, whose synopsis of Joplin's history has been very helpful, and we've quoted from it quite a bit. So I recommend his website, professorbill.com. And also, we want to remember that around 1970, Vera Brodsky-Lawrence, through the New York Public Library, published a two-volume set of his complete rags plus the music and libretto for the opera. The opera was staged successfully in 1972 by the Houston Grand Opera and has been staged several times since then. And, of course, Joplin's music, especially The Entertainer, was used in the soundtrack for the movie The Sting. So Scott Joplin has left a great legacy, and we are beginning to appreciate, as a nation and as a world, what he has done. So thanks very much for joining us this evening. It's been a pleasure to do these. I've enjoyed them, and I hope you have too. The time is 9 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU Denver, Boulder, and Fort Collins. Stay tuned for Swing Shift.
If you work with a nonprofit organization in the KGNU listening area, you know the value of a dollar. But did you know that KGNU offers special underwriting rates for nonprofits? Find out how to reach your target audience without breaking your marketing budget. Call 303-449-4885 and ask for our nonprofit sponsorship kit or visit kgnu.org.
Happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to Swing Shift. Roger sitting in tonight. And as usual, I open my show with Swing Shift, as played by the International Sweethearts of Rhythm. So a few minutes of Swing Shift from the International Sweethearts of Rhythm. Honor of the holiday, starting off with some appropriate holiday music. Glenn Miller Orchestra, and There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays. Perry Como had the most popular version of that, and many of us forgot that it was a hit for Glenn Miller before Perry Como came along. So start off with a little bit of nostalgia, No Place Like Home for the Holidays, and continue in the Thanksgiving holiday theme with some other songs that I hope you'll enjoy.
like home for the holidays. 'Cause no matter how far away you roam, when you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays, you can't beat home sweet home.
I met a man who lives in Tennessee, and he was